Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and on those in the tombs, bestowing life. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
You may be seated. Those are some of the first words that we have from the earliest Easter worship, thousands of years old, and yet what power and meaning and wonder they hold for us still on this Easter morning. My name is Evie Martin, and the lead pastor here at Plattwood Church. A blessed Easter to all of you gathered here in this space and to those of you worshiping with us online this morning. What is the heaviest thing you have ever tried to move? And I say tried intentionally because it's better for the illustration if you couldn't actually move it. Shout it out. What's the heaviest thing?
A chair.
A chair. A refrigerator. A sleeping teenager. All the kids over here, you're just moving some heavy things. When I was a kid, I have a very distinct memory of washing and cleaning out our family cars on Saturdays. We had various iterations of minivans over the years. At several points, we had a Saab. I think you can see it in the picture up here. My dad would put us to work each weekend cleaning them up. This is the only picture my mom could find of us with the cars, like not even washing them. That's me on the left. Yeah, my brother doesn't have shorts on. Sorry. Anyway, this is it. But the memorable thing about this was not so much the washing, but the ritual of getting them out of the garage. Not wanting to start the engine unnecessarily just to move the car a few feet into the driveway, my dad would hop in behind the steering wheel, he'd drop it into neutral, and he'd say, "Okay, kids, push." We three scrawny but scrappy offspring would muster every muscle and lean every ounce of body weight into that Plymouth Voyager and attempt to nudge it out of the garage and into the driveway where it could be washed. To be clear, we could not make it budge. But my dad, obviously stronger than all three of us combined, would keep his leg out the side door and slowly, steadily, with one foot, push it back out into place. We felt like we had done our part. But really, we didn't do a thing. Couldn't have, to save our lives, probably. The first Easter, according to the Gospel of Mark, began with a concern about moving very heavy things. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." The first people, Mary, and Salome, coming to tend to the body of their beloved Jesus 2 mornings after his death, are fixated on an impossible task. They spend their walk to the tomb ruminating on a futile question: who's going to roll the stone away for us? I can think of 100 other questions that might bear consideration at this point in the story, like, where is everybody else? Why did this happen? What are we going to do now? Could we have stopped this execution? Even, how is his poor mother? But grief doesn't always work rationally, does it? Grief and shock sometimes turn us toward the impossible, the questions we can't answer, the immediate problems we can do nothing about. Grief is often nonsensical. Who is going to move the stone for us, the stone that cannot be moved? The stone in question is a detail of the story that appears in all 4 Gospels, which makes it worth considering. There must be something to this impossibly heavy part of the story. History and archaeology tell us that a typical tombstone of this time and place could require 20 men to move it in and out of place. That's how heavy it is. Now, women are strong, to be sure. But I suspect that these three knew they were still outmatched by this heavy obstacle. They had men who could help, 11 of them anyway, but they were nowhere to be found. Where were they? Locked away, hiding, disappeared, in a tomb of their own making, perhaps, their own fear keeping them from Jesus. And so the women are alone, abandoned by the others who could not stand by Jesus, even unto the end. And in their aloneness and their fear, they fixate on one thing, the obstacle, the insurmountable thing that will keep them apart from Jesus' body, the very large stone. Mark tells us in verse 4, with an exclamation point, it was a very large stone. This emphasis makes me start to wonder if those who first wrote this story down might be telling us that this tombstone is something more than just a very large rock. You see, when we look carefully, in some of the accounts, like the Gospel of Mark, the stone is already moved when the first people arrive on the scene, but in others, it's still in place as the people show up until an earthquake or an angel move it, revealing a tomb that is already empty. The point is, the moving of the stone, however it happens in whichever gospel, wasn't for Jesus. The tomb was already empty, regardless of where the stone was. Jesus didn't need the stone moved. We did. Because we're the ones, like the women, who can't imagine how we're going to get past the very heavy things. Life has no shortage of very heavy things, does it? Obstacles that we can't imagine moving. Problems and impossibilities that suck all our time and our attention, our energy, our worry. Things we can do nothing about. Things we wish we had done something about. Things we fear will keep us apart from love, from life, from joy. Heavy things are there in every moment of the news. Places and people suffering in ways we can only imagine. The very ground that Jesus walked today, soaked with the blood of terror and genocide as the proud and powerful persist in the horrors of war. Suffering and persecution in corners all over the world, some seen by us, some unseen. These are heavy things. Who will move them for us? Heavy things like the pain that courses through local communities, just like ours, where children are still hungry, where gun violence abounds, where racism still persists. These are heavy things. Who will move them for us? The loss of identity, of not being known for who you are because you're queer, because you're divorced, because you're an addict, because some other label has replaced your real name, beloved. That weight is so heavy, you might feel like you cannot breathe. Who will move these heavy things for us? The grief that comes with your loss of someone you have loved so deeply, the loss of your health, financial stability, a dream, a friendship. These are heavy, heavy things. Who will move them for us? These heavy things, we cannot move. We fixate on them. We cannot see a path around them or through them or beyond them. They threaten to crush us. But the impossible news of Easter morning, the good news that gathers us together even still today, is that God has moved the heavy stone. A way that we could not fathom or imagine or see has opened up. And this is not some tone-deaf proclamation of a too-good-to-be-true story. It's not an invitation into an empty happiness that ignores the harsh and heavy realities of the world. Easter is not a plastic joy that tries to cover over the wounds of being human. It is witness to a power we cannot comprehend, we cannot control, that rolls heavy things aside and makes a way for us to move closer to the center of gravity of love. Because the stone is still in the story. The heavy things do not disappear. We know that. They have rolled aside, opening a way to love, but the stone has left a mark. There is a deep rut, I imagine, an imprint in the damp, dew-drenched ground of the early morning. The grass has been bent and broken, the wild daisies crushed where the stone has passed over. Anyone traipsing in and out of the tomb that morning, trying to figure out what was happening, left with tombstone mud caked on the soles of their feet. The mess of heavy things is not gone. Life in the resurrection is not up and to the right. It's not a life exempt of pain and struggle. Resurrection life first goes down into the quiet and frightening darkness, deeper than we would ever choose to go. And there, it does not shed the pain, but it fully absorbs it until it turns to love. And then it breaches the unbreachable stone into a life we never could have imagined was possible with mud still on our souls. It's hard to know what to do or what to feel when we encounter something we did not dream could be. When the women's greatest obstacle was rolled to the side, before they could even formulate a plan, they had no idea what to do next. The messenger in white told them they were not meant to be alone with their fear, alone with these heavy things moved aside. They were sent back to their community to share this confusion, this incredulity, this impossibility with the other disciples. But first, Jesus shows up. Mystically, mysteriously, no one tried to explain how he got there or where he went next, but suddenly, instead of a giant stone in their path, there is Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew tells us, with great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and they ran to tell his disciples, but Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. The body that these women had come to tend to in death, the love in the flesh that they thought was forever sealed behind a very heavy thing, now stands in front of them. And they fall down and they grab onto his feet. Feet that I imagine carry some mud from the ground behind that rolled away stone. Feet that I know for sure bore the scars of the nails, the heaviest of heavy things that brought an end to life. Feet that bear the truth of the heaviness of life, but now stand, marking the miracle that the worst thing is not the last thing. The heavy things of life leave their mark. We too bear the mud on our feet, but they do not end our path, because God has rolled them to the side and stands before us, inviting us to keep walking, sending us to keep living. Christ's resurrection opens a way for us not just to survive this life, but to fully live it. To fully live it, not pain-free, but with a deep understanding of others' suffering, because we too have felt it. To fully live it, not in our comfortable bubble, but with a wide empathy for people different from what we know. To fully live it, not with an apathy towards problems we don't know how to solve, but with an overflowing compassion, because we believe there is always new life buried somewhere underneath the mud. To fully live it, not captive to the stone that we cannot budge, but with a love that courses from follicles to feet from the God who has moved it for us. On Monday of this past week, a dear friend of mine celebrated a milestone of sobriety from alcohol addiction. Chris's life before recovery, as he talks about it now, was all but destroyed by the weight of his alcoholism. Maybe some of you know this story, a story like it. It had ruined relationships, work life, family dynamics. He was crushed under the weight of addiction. He couldn't possibly imagine how that stone could be moved. And yet, somehow, he found himself in the balcony of a church one Sunday, and then again the next, and then again the next, still drunk or hungover most weeks. He did not see a way out. He wasn't even sure he wanted one. His father had died. He wouldn't have minded joining him. But something began to give. The stone, crushing the life out of him, began to budge. And Chris can explain it no other way than the love of Christ reaching in, pushing the stone, and dragging him back to life. He checked into rehab 10 years ago on March 25th, 2014. And every day since, he wakes up, he thanks God for the tombstone mud that is still on his own feet, and he reaches out to find others in his community and beyond who are crushed by that same weight. His podcast now has reached thousands of people. His advocacy and support through the Illinois Recovery Center has brought countless people into new life with mud on their own feet. His resurrection is not something yet to come. It has already begun. And he lives it every day. And so has our resurrection already begun. From the heavy things that block our way, that weigh us down. And so we walk with resurrection mud on the soles of our lives. We walk with our hope in the one whose scarred and muddy feet have gone a distance we cannot imagine, beyond the finality of death, and come back for us. We walk in the mysterious truth that the heaviest of heavy things no longer blocks our way. Who will roll away the stone for us? The risen Christ has done it. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please rise.